Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Here's something that we...
You're with Mike Ryan on today's news talk radio. TNT. TNT.
It's all happening and not good. I actually went to pick up a glass of water. Sorry, Timmy had a breakdown. Heard that Tucker was popping over the intro. Smack me. I found that very exciting. Okay, take two. Very serious story here. U.S. nuclear, or nuclear, as George W. would say, official and LGBTQ activist faces theft charges. Now, Sam Brinton has been accused of stealing a woman's suitcase at a U.S. airport. The top U.S. official in charge of handling nuclear waste and women's clothing has been charged with stealing a woman's baggage worth more than $2,300 at the Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport. Sam Brinton made headlines earlier this year for becoming the first openly gender-fluid kinky lifestyle practitioner in federal leadership. And I probably take umbrage to that one. Maybe Joe. Who knows? Josephine. Now, according to court documents obtained by the local outlet Alpha News, which broke the story, surveillance footage showed Brinton taking a Vera Bradley suitcase off the baggage carousel at the airport on September 16. The action was puzzling because the official had flown into Minnesota from D.C., without any checked bags. Now, Brinton then returned to DC with the bag in tow and used it again on a trip to Europe. Of course, it was just gorgeous. It was a beautiful bag. What am I going to do? Leave it there? Of course not. I'm going to take it with me. And he did. Also, the Netherlands will take control of the private properties via compulsory sales, which will see owners receive a provisional figure of 120% of the farm's value, although this figure has not yet been finalised. Christian van der Wal Zeglink, the country's minister, can you believe it? A minister for nitrogen policy. I'm stunned. I'm starting to sound like Timothy Shea. Big breaks. Anyway, a minister for nitrogen policy. Anyway, Christiane told MPs on Friday the government would press on with a radical plan if it does not receive enough offers from farmers to sell voluntarily. I think I'll sell my farm for the good of all mankind, because we have too much nitrogen. I was going to say, like, BS, but they don't want that. So what do you say? Anyway, she said that there is no better offer coming. Adding to the compulsory sales would be forced with a heavy heart. Now, the Dutch cabinet has set aside $24.3 billion in compensation for the Dutch farms, many of which are family-run and have been handed down for generations, surviving German occupation only to be seized by a Dutch state desperate to adhere to EU environmental standards. Just terrible, isn't it? Just terrible. And I'm just trying to find out where all my stuff's gone, basically, but... we're looking at various things that are happening around the world, and if we go to, for example, Apple and China. Well, the narrative at the moment from China in regards to the protesters, according to James O'Neill, is that anti-science right-wingers protest common sense COVID restrictions.
Thanks, Mike. According to sources, thousands of right-wing anti-science extremists have converged in Shanghai to protest Chinese President Xi's common sense COVID restrictions. These science deniers are extremely dangerous, said CCP propaganda minister Yinyang Yingalong. Our benevolent President Xi has locked thousands of people in their homes for several weeks for their own safety. This is a very compassionate and pro-science policy, and anyone who questions it is a right-wing bigot. The minister went on to explain that thousands have already been saved from COVID as they have starved to death or burned to death locked in their own apartments. After extensive scientific research, we found that dead people are completely safe from being infected with the COVID, he said, smiling. President Biden has offered his support to protesters in public statements saying, come on, man, flapjack, mimi Muslims, lardu, your hair smells nice. The administration, however, quietly pledged support for President Xi, promising they would work with tech companies to silence dissent whenever possible. At publishing time, Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau had also offered to help President Xi, citing his experience with trucker protests. Back to you, Mike.
Now, James is gone. James, I'm just going to tell you, make sure you clear the nose before you sniff near a microphone, because it does sound like a wind tunnel with boulders. It's not a good sound. It happened to a friend of mine once on the air, and he had these, it was like a booger fever up there. It was terrible. Anyway, it sounded really loud. Let me tell you, it sounded like, a wind tunnel with boulders. Now, don't miss out on a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store. There's more room there, apparently, very shortly, because Twitter's gone. Or Google Play. There's more room there, apparently, because Twitter's gone. So you can easily listen live to us anytime, anywhere. Available right now to download, and we're keeping you up to speed, not on it, on TNT Radio.
Making sense of the stories.
They break down the big stories.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Protesters in Chinese cities are angry over Beijing's draconian COVID policy, and using blank sheets of paper to get their message across. The blank sheets of paper, a metaphor for what's left unsaid, have become a powerful tool for those unhappy Chinese. Jeremy Beck has more. Tell us more, Jeremy.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. A growing number of Chinese people have realised that the ruling Communist Party, the COVID response is just oppressive. It's just not based on sound science, and it's just unbearable. And they're rising up in increasing numbers. From Beijing to Shanghai, numerous protesters over the weekend held wordless papers while digital white rectangles inundated feeds of the country's largest social media platform, WeChat, even as the censors rushed to delete them off the web. Chinese residents in at least a dozen cities took to the streets over the weekend, but who knows, it could have been more. We just wouldn't know given the censorship, which is already apparent. In Shanghai, China's most populous city, some of the protesters have reportedly chanted, Xi Jinping, step down, Communist Party, step down. The lockdown in Shanghai has left even some of the wealthy people struggling to source food and has caused the death of some sick and elderly who were deprived of medical care. So more and more Chinese people are waking up, Mike. It's good to see people waking up to oppression. It should happen all over the world.
Yeah, I think so. And it's interesting with the US because, you know, it's, we support you. You know, protest. I mean, look at Trudeau. You know, we support your protest. Australians are saying the same thing. I'm sure Dan Andrews, maybe not Dan because he's very tied up with the CCP, but he'd be saying also, yeah, go and protest. Let's not forget that Trudeau, Australia, the US, they went very hard and heavy on anybody that was a dissenter. And if you're a doctor, heaven forbid, if you said, look, I'll look after my patient the way it should be, well, then you were just struck off. You're sent into the sin bin, never to return. At least with Twitter, he has brought people back from the dead. But the US's approach, Jeremy, or attitude, I'll just play this and it goes for 20 seconds.
I'm wondering, what is the president's reaction when he hears protesters in China chant freedom or Xi Jinping step down?
The president's not going to speak for protesters around the world. They're speaking for themselves.
So there's no reaction?
These protesters are speaking for themselves. What we are doing is making it clear that we support the right of peaceful protest.
So there you are. There you have the U.S. Sitting on the fence. And it's very, very, the whole thing's very disturbing. What do you think, though, will happen? Because we know the Chinese under the CCP, not the Chinese people, because the Chinese people have such wonderful heritage, such magnificent history, and one that we should be envious of. But currently, it's just terrible. I mean, they're talking about 4 years of the Age of Enlightenment with Mao Zedong. 45 million people were killed. Mm. And it's sort of like, oh well, it's not, you know, nothing to do with us. It's some other country. But now that we're becoming smaller and smaller and closer, what happens in a particular country can ultimately affect the rest of the world.
Mm, it's true. And it's very disappointing to see this hardline lockdown approach. I went to China just before COVID and experienced a great time, actually.
Great place.
I saw their great infrastructure, high-speed trains. I went to the Three Gorges Dam and a lot of great people there. But unfortunately, when you have a system as the Communist Party of China is, it's a very authoritarian system. You can get things done, but at the same time, you can also suppress people when things go wrong and there's no checks and balances there. So they have got a lot of things done. They've lifted about a billion people out of poverty. And a lot of people, you know, are happy about that, of course. But when you have this kind of a regime operating with the most harsh lockdowns of anywhere in the world, I mean, even Dan Andrews' lockdowns weren't as harsh as what they
China. He would have loved it to have been. Big ears, yeah. The dictator big ears, that's what they'll call him. Look at it, they're flapping in the wind, waiting to beat people with them.
Yeah. Well, we had the 5 kilometre limit, and it was terrible what he did. But in China, they just barricaded people in their apartments, and yeah, it was just really super oppressive. We sort of went down that path in an apartment block in Victoria and Melbourne, but that was only for one particular isolated case. But, yeah, it's just horrible to see, and people are rising up. They just can't stand it. There are about 97 million members of the Communist Party of China, which is quite a big membership. But, of course, that's still the minority of the more than a billion people there.
1.5, I think, yeah. And also many of those members of the Communist Party, I'm just wondering if they were coerced into becoming a voluntarily joining the CCP. Because, I mean, what if somebody said to you, comrade, we'd love you to be a member of the CCP. Oh, no thanks. You'll enjoy your stay in some solitary prison cell somewhere on top of the mountain. Look, I'd love to join. It'd be a wonderful organisation to join. And, I mean, out of those 97 million, I mean, the Chinese people are very good people. I mean, we went to Shanghai, filmed in Shanghai and Hong Kong and places like that, and they were just magnificent. I mean, the hospitality. I did find something quite interesting how they retain history. Drew some money out at an ATM, and it had a little sign there, no peeking. And I thought, oh, nice play on words here, no peeking, because there's no peeking. It's now Beijing. So anyway, the mandatory COVID tracing apps to control population, tell us about that.
Well, that's in place in China, quite widespread, and it's a concern because they could be used to track and monitor everyone's movements and the protesters' movements as well. And who knows what kind of law enforcement action will happen, court action, I don't know, to those protesters. We would not know due to the censorship, but I wouldn't like to be in their shoes. And, you know, we faced that here in Victoria. People got the rubber bullets. They got sent to jail. Pregnant women got arrested in their houses. You know, we faced that too. So I would imagine the similar things happening there, but we wouldn't know exactly what's going on behind the scenes. So those tracing apps, of course, we had them too. They have them. It's just completely anti-science. They did nothing to control the spread. Of course, they wouldn't, if anyone understands how the the spread of COVID happens in waves and a lot of it travels through the atmosphere. So you're not going to stop it. It's not primarily person-to-person spread. But that was, you know, in place. It keeps people in check. It keeps people monitored exactly where they go, where they spend their money, what they're doing, who they see. And it's just an oppressive way to run in a society.
It is indeed. And China has very strong ties with the World Health Organization. Tell us about that.
Yeah, very true. And I was looking at some of the main goals that the WHO has with China. And there's an arrangement there where they have a series of priorities for the World Health Organization cooperation with China. And priority number one is to strengthen health systems towards universal health coverage. And I find this word universal health coverage quite problematic because to me it seems like a one-size-fits-all and everyone's health is individual, and I prefer to look at an individual disease and have individual doctor care rather than this universality idea. But some of the other priorities seem to be more sinister to me. For example, priority number five is address the impact of environment and climate change on health. And that, of course, is just complete out straight propaganda of this climate change alarmism, which is interesting because China does have a pollution problem. But having been there, I was quite surprised. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. But I might have been just lucky to be in those cities on a better day than an average day. But I was expecting to see thick smog and not see blue sky. But I was in Beijing and beautiful blue sky, and it was all fine. But nonetheless, regardless of that, that's a real health issue. The climate change is not, and that is just straight up propaganda from the World Health Organization. And then they have a priority number four, promote healthy cities movement. And to me, that sounds quite sinister. The healthy cities idea sounds like smart cities, and I'd need to look further into that. But it seems to step away from individual care and a scientific approach to treating a disease and looking at the options of treatment rather than, you know, healthy cities. It sounds more like marketing spin with a more top-down agenda than what is really needed for good health.
Yeah, I think it is. I think the idea of a digital ID, because it's for everybody's good, country's good, which has your health information. Somebody was saying just this morning to me that if you were to travel and you had the digital ID in Australia, the trusted digital ID, if you were to travel, before you could go to any country, you'd have to have all these ticks all the way through. And if you're one tick short, then that would tick off that country and you wouldn't be able to get in. So whereas before, at the moment, we can just show our passport, and that lets you in because it says you are an Australian or an American or an English citizen. Once the digital one comes in, which can be controlled anywhere and everywhere, you have to make sure all your vaccines, won't just stop with COVID, it'll be everything. All your vaccines are up to speed because Pfizer are there in the background and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. And that, you know, it'll be very hard to travel, and that's what they want. They want to be able to shut us down, stop us from moving around, and control our lives beyond all of our wildest dreams. And that's coming, I would think, sometime next year. It will start. The penny will drop. It will start to dawn on citizens around the world. But I would think that at that stage, it's too late. Jeremy Beck, thank you very much for your time. Enjoyable again. And we'll talk about Shanghai later. Oh, not on the air, but off air. It's a magnificent city. Went on the very fast train there. Truly, 300 kilometres an hour. But it just ends nowhere because they couldn't go any further, so they just stopped it. But unless you travel on a very fast train, it just didn't go anywhere. Then you get a cab for the next 20 or 30 kilometres. But, you know, a great, great place, China. And my wife goes to Guangzhou, or used to go to Guangzhou a lot, Hong Kong. And, truly a magnificent country with so much heritage. And it'll be nice when the world gets back to being a little bit more normal, if that is ever possible. This is TNT Radio.
You should hear what Lynn Shaw is talking about.
Children today are the currency. They're eyeballs online for marketers. They're information. Today, children are the product, and they're being attacked on every front. Although there are a lot of organizations, nonprofits, a lot of good people, and in the government, and we're working so hard on laws and legislation, in the meantime, you cannot sit back. It's 2022, almost 2023. You have to step up. You have to protect your vulnerable children and grandchildren, and you all have to participate. The days of doing nothing, dropping the kids at school or on the school bus, and then that's it for 6 or 8 hours, over. Over, because we have a complicit, I dare say, I'll go for it, government, definitely complicit media, complicit Hollywood, and our schools and medical community seem to be riding this wave of child exploitation. They want a lot of gender talk, but they do not want to talk about internet safety, something that is surrounding all of us, because we all live now in this digital world, and that's okay, but let's leverage it for good.
Lynn Shaw and Lynn's Warriors on TNT Radio.
Google and Facebook, they don't sell you anything. They sell you.
Facebook constantly manipulates their users. They do it by the things that they insert into the news feeds, and they do it by the types of posts they allow their users to see.
It's what Google and Facebook are doing on a regular basis, by suppressing stories, by steering us towards other stories rather than the stories we're actually seeking. That's the real manipulation that's going on.
I was a design ethicist at Google, where I studied how do you ethically steer people's thoughts.
It will always favor one online music service over another and one candidate over another.
Google and Facebook has the power to undermine democracy without us knowing that democracy has been undermined.
There's what I call the creepy line, and the Google policy about a lot of these things is to get right up to the creepy line but not cross it.
Google crosses the creepy line every day.
Discover how society is manipulated by Google and Facebook. The creepy line at salemnow.com.
There is no scientifically justifiable reason for vaccine mandates.
It's entirely about forcing compliance and punishing anyone who dares dissent.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
The world is in chaos and psychopaths are in control. They're coming to take me away. Ha-ha. They are indeed, maybe. Who knows? Try that with George Eliason. He's still with us, thank God. Politicians have abandoned our sovereignty and democratic principles using corporate oligarchs and corrupted media to do their bidding. Or is it the other way around? Those protesting zero COVID in China await a horrific reckoning. The same fate may await us, and it's not too far ahead. George Eliason is an American journo and TNT host who lives and works in absolute luxury in Donbass. In Donbass, I was just trying to think of another thing to say, and I couldn't. George has been interviewed by and provided analysis for RT, the BBC, and Press TV. His articles have been widely published. George, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
I always say living in luxury. Can you just tell us, because you know, we've been asked, where does George, what's his neighbourhood like? What are his abodes like? What are the people like around him? Can you just give us a very brief atmospheric description of the luxury of George Eliason?
Oh, well, in terms of atmospheric conditions, it's minus 20 with the wind chill today. It's very cold.
Wow, that is cold. Is that Celsius or Fahrenheit?
We had a cold snap. Pardon?
Is that Fahrenheit or Celsius?
Celsius. Well, at minus 20, they're about the same.
Wow.
We've had a cold snap for the last few days or so.
Climate change.
Exactly. We're going into the deep melt, and this is just a preparation for it, I guess. Mm. What's it like? It's the people here, it's like, oh gosh, Heartland America, or, you know, where I'm from, Boston. Their attitudes, except, you know, in terms of politics. It would be, you know, comparing it to Boston. Given a chance, they definitely vote for Trump over Joe Biden at any day. And they're, you know, waiting with bated breath for new revelations on Hunter Biden's laptop. They keep up with the news very, very well here. And there's a lot of interest going on, you know, what's happening in the U.S. Congress and such, because it affects their lives a lot more than it affects U.S. citizens, mm-hmm. for the most part. Mm-hmm. It's, it, if you look at your own neighborhood, you've got a slice of Donbass there, as long as they're not, it's not a Democratic precinct, is what I'd say.
Yeah, interesting. We used to be able to travel once upon a time, but it's getting harder and harder with the digital IDs just around the corner. As someone who was saying to me this morning, unless you have all those ticks in place, you ain't going anywhere. And perhaps, George, that's what they want to do. Before we get into that and other exciting conversation points, we'll just go to a quick break. This is TNT Radio.
What time is it?
Now, TNT Radio News.
You know what time it is?
Yeah. Time to read some news.
Matt Boylan here with a check of your TNT headlines. Twitter's new CEO, Elon Musk, has picked a public fight with Apple for charging software developers a 30% fee for in-app purchases. NATO has announced it's strengthening its presence across Eastern Europe from the Black Sea to the Baltics as it steps up its support for Ukraine. And Britain's new Prime Minister has declared China a rival, saying the days of close economic cooperation with Beijing are over.
On air and on the app.
I listen on the app.
Stay up to date around the clock.
I listen, therefore I know.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
My guest is George Eliason from Donbass. We're talking all things world catastrophic events, maybe, or on the way to. And look, a lot of things to talk about, China and the elections and whatever. I want to first of all look at Connect. And, you know, it's sort of, it had little blips there. Greg Phillips and Catherine were in court being, you know, they were being sued by Connect, you know, so it was a civil court. And then they were jailed because they wouldn't release that third name. Then they've said that Greg Phillips, well, he said, we didn't say it, he said that he worked for the FBI, and the whole thing was just quite bizarre, to say the least. In fact, Greg Phillips worked here on a couple of shifts. And I'm looking at all the angles here with Connect. And by the way, Eugene Wu has now been he's been basically let off. You can go, thrown out. Everything's gone in LA under the Soros's left hand man, Gascon. What a great DA he isn't. So what we have is the hoo-ha bit of interest from mainstream media. We know there was an investigation by the FBI, COVID investigation. That just stopped suddenly. Michigan and LA decided to prosecute or go after Eugene and Connect. Michigan threw up their hands and said, you look after it, it'll be easier. They then throw it out, it's gone. We have that Connect is also has contracts with the U.S. Defense, has been part of major elections. I think even the federal election with Trump and stuff. I don't know about this one. All been thrown out. It's the whole thing, and you can go different ways with this, and each one is very plausible. So I'm just wondering, Eugene, you and the others. Just wondering though where it's going to end, because there's a number of scenarios that you could say is true. The whole thing is just been thrown up into the air, and I shake my head and I'm thinking, well, most people don't know much about it, most aren't interested, and it's a very serious thing that's just been swept away by Soros and his henchmen. What happens now, and tell us what you know about it.
Well, first of all, regarding the courts, at every level, the judges are going to try to run away from an election fraud case as fast as they can. They'll do everything they can to get it thrown out of court. Part of the reason is that they're, you know, elected officials in a lot of cases. And they don't want to, you know, an honest judge doesn't want to come up as a partisan figure in any sense. Because election fraud cases are usually, you know, one side versus the other in the U.S., Democrats versus Republicans. So it'll reflect badly in terms of their future upward mobility in terms of the third branch of government. Now, nobody in their right mind inside government wants any of these cases. I shouldn't say nobody, but the establishment side don't want any election fraud cases, especially national impact cases, to see the light of day. Once you start opening that up and you start examining the machinery for real, it's either going to throw the entire election process out the window or really into disarray. The election process itself is the first, protecting it is the first duty of government. And when people get a grasp on how widespread, it's not failure, it's being coerced and part of the fraud, part of the fraud and criminality that's abusing the system. On, and it's either side. You have rhinos, you have Democrats, and it's not all Democrats. You still have, there are some good figures in there. Tulsi Gabbard until recently was, you know, a shining beacon in the Democratic Party. We're in a situation where we have to go back to paper to actually have a valid election. And where do I see this going? It'll make some headlines, and that'll be that. Stir a little bit of outrage, but not too much. And then I'll back it down. You have people that are controlling the narrative on this that are going to do everything in their power not to let it get out of control. Just at the same level that they did with COVID from 2020 onward. What did they do to people that were actually putting up facts, evidence, and so on? The guests we had on Monday were just really, really, really wonderful in terms of understanding election malpractice. Lee Hoops and Greg Stenstrom really opened up what they're doing in Pennsylvania as an example. And having all the facts, it really, in the court, didn't matter. I mean, they got expert witnesses thrown out, and the judge ruled against them anyway. And so here we are with it. So Connick is that whole situation is no different.
It's an interesting thing, isn't it? If you look at the U.S., I mean, it's, as Carrie Lake said, we need to get our act together. The world is watching us, but we've been watching them, you know, the way you guys vote and run a country for a long time, and it's going down that gurgler very fast. To let people like Eugene Yu walk away, and that's what he has done.
It's a travesty.
Well, it is, and I mean, but first of all, to move it to LA, everybody knew that Gascon was going to let Eugene walk away. It was a lay down misere, and that's, you know, we said that ages ago. But it doesn't fix the problem, and there is a problem. Your elections are a shambles. They're interfered with by every man, dog, and the neighbour next door, along with a couple of maybe overseas governments, such as the Chinese, and you can link that with some of the goings on in your court systems, such as with with people that service and look after all your voting machines. And they've done a great job. They don't work, most of them. But your whole country is, it's almost beyond repair. Where do you go? I mean, how do you fix this up? Because it's so deep set. Every county has its own politics, and it's corruption is the name of the game, or even dumbing that down a bit, just bias, extreme bias, that they don't want the other side to win, which is probably part of it. I don't care who they are. They're not going to win my election. How do you fix all this?
You could actually take a couple of very simple steps. I harp on it a lot, but reverting the Smith-Mundt Act to pre-2012 cuts out all the propaganda. It cuts out the demon in a room when political parties talk together, because it cuts out the propaganda and infowar. It makes it illegal again. So news automatically becomes a lot more unbiased. And what you can do to manipulate the news, I'm not going to say it disappears, but you could get sued. You're actually liable for it again at that point for spreading falsehoods. Now, that's a good thing. The other thing is term limits. America is in dire need, if the political system is going to survive, of setting term limits for local and federal representation. Third is cutting out NGO interests and corporations from having a say in elections altogether. So, you know, you talk about, you know, Soros district attorneys. Well, Soros had to be given the right to be able to get them elected. All right. Take that away and make elections for real people who show real IDs when they get to the voting booth. You know, in any other country, it just wouldn't be questioned. You have to prove who you are. You have to be a citizen to, you know, cast a vote, because it is, you know, in any country, it's one of the sacred duties of citizenship, choosing your, and in a democracy, choosing your representation. And making it as nonpartisan as possible will turn the focus back to how do we best govern our constituencies? Who has the better ideas, instead of which party needs to win? You know, for the benefit of the people. That's where it all needs to go. Will I get there? Not in the short term, no. It needs a major kickstart. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the left, friend of ours, Trevor Fitzgibbon, said that there is no left and there is no right. They're all melded together, and there's all sorts of conflicts happening. But if you look at the new left, they don't want any sort of free speech. I mean, in fact, Elon Musk is now one of the most dangerous men. I'll play this, one of the most dangerous men in the US.
Elon Musk, who's not from this country, knows that. He bought Twitter with the aim of stopping censorship and restoring free speech. He just said this: there's been a lot of censorship on Twitter, and we're going to find out what it is. Quote, the Twitter files on free speech suppression soon to be published on Twitter itself. The public deserves to know what really happened. End quote. So why shouldn't we know that? Why shouldn't we know who is shutting down free speech in a country that claims to be a democracy? Well, everybody in power is panicked over this. Apple is threatening to remove Twitter from its app store. So if Twitter no longer can get its app on the app store, there's no more Twitter, because you access Twitter through the app. So they're essentially threatening to shut down Twitter. Meanwhile, the White House and the media are trying to convince you that the problem is not China throwing people in concentration camps, suppressing free speech. The problem is Elon Musk, who is trying to restore free speech. He's the evil one. Watch.
It's amazing to watch someone like Elon Musk, who is such a he's such a child. You know, he's so immature. He needs attention all the time. And these guys with these money and this attention and these daddy issues.
I'd say this libertarian nonsense is destructive to American national security. And he has got to reinstitute the same restrictions that were on Twitter before he bought it.
When it comes to social media platforms, it is their responsibility to make sure that when it comes to misinformation, when it comes to the hate that we're seeing, that they take action.
There's something very dangerous about him. He reminds me of a Bond villain. As I said, when the richest guy in the world buys a social media platform, it's just not a good equation. I think he's a dangerous fella.
And that sort of speaks to how he's been governing over at Twitter. Not much transparency into what's going on, just really him ruling by tweets.
So you could deconstruct every single one of those statements. Here's the CIA officer, the guy who lied for a living, telling you we need more censorship. But they're not actually coming out against, quote, hate. What they're saying is, we decide what you can say and what you can't in this democracy. And if you try to speak freely, we'll crush you. That's exactly what they're saying.
George, what do you think?
Well, I think that, you know, what Elon Musk is doing is a great start. And, you know, it goes back to what I just laid out. The single most important right in any democracy is free speech. And it's about protecting that. Now, does free speech have to be responsible? Yeah. Yeah, it does. But, you know, any society, you know, is able to come to grips with that themselves. They don't need what's going on. And when you look at the censorship, when you actually trace it all back, do you know where it's coming from? These censors, these fact checkers, the majority of them are actually the managers are in Ukraine. Ukraine has no free speech. Do you want their free speech? Elon Musk is taking a step away from them, which is a great thing. And what you were talking about, you know, with Trevor, when you referenced him, the left versus the right, you know, there is no left versus right. We are under the misconception that the right wing and the left wing are different, and they're not. On the political spectrum, fascism and communism, socialism sit side by side. They're both leftist political ideologies. Giovanni Gentile, the author of Fascism, he wrote Everything You Know About Fascism, calling it a good thing, said it was the ultimate form of socialism. And if you can't take his word for it, well, you know, honestly, you really need to rethink your stance. And this is why in Ukraine, you've got the neo-Nazis coming across the board to, you know, joining Azov, and you also have people that support Antifa or are in Antifa, learning the tools of the trade, you know, in the Merc world in Syria and Ukraine, and they have no problem fighting side by side. They're getting together on political issues in the United States. They're both inherently anti-Trump. They're both inherently anti-democracy, liberal democracy. They both inherently want a police state to shut up and get rid of people that disagree with fascist socialist values.
Do you have a spare room there, George? We may have to join you. We may have to join you. In fact, you need probably a very large hotel. We have many that would come over there in a blink just to get out of, for example, Australia. It's a terrible place. It's got some great surprises for us all down the track. And to see them, what they're doing, the same to other great countries. Australia has such a great history to it, and it has so much potential. And you got these pack of bastards running around the place doing what they can to destroy not only Australia, but all the people that live in it, unless you do what they want. My guest is George Eliason. We'll come back to George in 1 second. This is TNT Radio.
Bye-bye, humans, according to the World Economic Forum advisor.
Oh, boy.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
World Economic Forum advisor Yuval Noah Harari says humans as we know them today will cease to exist within 1 to 200 years. Why? Because humans will be hacked, Harari explains.
We will use advanced technology, biotechnology, nanotechnology, direct brain-computer interfaces to upgrade Homo sapiens into different kinds of beings, beings which are different from us much more than we are different from Neanderthals.
Are you looking forward to a direct brain-computer interfaces to upgrade yourself? Are you ready for humans to be hacked by the World Economic Forum? Klaus Schwab has even called for human brain implants to monitor our moods and thoughts. Don't be hacked. Reject the Great Reset. Let's call it the Great Reject. Reject hacking the human mind. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
It's not a Snapchat seat, a trying to find the sunnies in your handbag seat, or a hi babe text to your girlfriend seat. It's not a brekkie on the run so you could sleep in seat. Or a seat for making awesome videos of yourself.
How are your earrings today? Do you like them?
It's a driver's seat. If there's someone or something that needs your attention and it can't wait, pull over first, because no one's driving if you're distracted. A message from the Government of South Australia.
Putin price hike excuse.
A massive economic downward spiral.
Thanks to Biden's war on fossil fuels and other policies.
40-year high inflation.
Rising prices.
Direct result of the bad decisions that Joe Biden has made.
Facing food shortages.
Today's News Talk Radio.
Worst president ever!
TNT.
And my guest is George Eliason. George, do you disagree with that little sweeper?
I actually, you know, there's an interesting point because it had Yuval Harari featured. And it ties it right back into everything we've been talking about. Mm. What nationality is Yuval Harari?
A Jewish, isn't he?
No, actually, if you look at his features, he's an ethnic Galician Ukrainian. And that's where his parents are from.
Why, you are right. Sorry.
That's where his parents are from.
Mm.
That's who they are. And he is, given his political views, and I've been working diligently on the Nord Stream stuff, and that's coming up, but it features a lot of Yuval Harari, Jim Snyder, etc. Yuval Harari, if he was alive back in the 30s, would have celebrated the rise of Adolf Hitler. He's that kind of guy at heart. So what he's saying is his people will be the guys with the implants and everybody else will be too busy starving and eating bugs to actually worry about him anymore.
Crickets.
In 100 years or so.
But there's nothing like a cricket burger.
Oh, Lord. Oh, my neighbors would have a field day with that one. I forget... who, but one of them brought that up in the conversation in the last month or so. And they said, are you people just crazy or stupid? You want to eat bugs?
Mm. I mean, we have cockroaches here. They're juicy and everything, cockroach.
Well, here's the problem with this whole, green thing and this whole switchover. What are you going to do with the animals? Are you going to destroy most of the animals on Earth because they are livestock?
They are. That's what they want to do. Look at the Netherlands. In the Netherlands a minister for nitrogen. A minister for nitrogen. I thought, truly, it's just getting more bizarre by the day. What do you do? I mean, the Minister for Nitrogen, they've already taking up, I think it's 300 or 3,000 farms in the Netherlands, going to close them all down. So back to what you were saying, what do they do? Do they shoot them all or kill them all? Yep, that's what they're going to do.
And that's how they're going to save all the animals on the planet that they supposedly love and want to pet.
But not
But not
if you have, if you're an activist, these wackos, they're now saying that we should kill a great number of our dogs because of their, wait for it, inverted commas, paw print. It's nuts.
That'll do it.
It's nuts.
I mean, you know, that shows you exactly where they're at. They're not actually environmentalists, ecologists, or, you know, trying to protect animals. They're trying to force a particular fascist ideology onto everybody. Why? Because it doesn't make sense. When you think about it, it doesn't make sense. In reality, it doesn't make sense. Nothing they're going to say. So they try to make everything about emotion, how they feel about it. Mm. And there is no justifications that they can come up with otherwise. So we'll kill the cows to save the animals.
Or they just kill the animals. But they kill the animals to save the planet. But if you're going to get rid of most of your farmland because of the nitrogen, terrible stuff that, as Ian Plimer, one of our regulars here, scientist extraordinaire, says, that sure, they may get rid of all the animals, but the mulch and the grass and the stuff will just, as it rots, it will still produce nitrogen. So it doesn't right. do it doesn't do any good at all. It's just, it's, I mean, in our day, George, we would have got a foot up the backside or a box in the ears from Reverend Mother or the good priest.
Yeah.
Now, just before we get into your show, just quickly, Zelensky has asked, he wants a trillion dollars to restore the country. I thought the Bitcoin thing was dead. He's going to invest it, isn't he?
Quite invested through the Ministry of Digital Transformation.
Mm.
And the whole thing is this. They invested in with FTX, okay, into a Ukrainian company, and with the Ministry of Digital Transformation. Inside that is the Ministry of Information Policy. Inside that is groups like Informed Napalm and their hacking groups like Ruhate, that have already been listed as recipients of, you know, $500,000 that's known about. These are the hackers that they need to be looking for that hacked FTX and took the money. I think they were done with it. They probably figured out they needed to get some quick change to get them through the congressional changes coming in January.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. Demanding another $1 trillion, Zelensky can demand what he wants, you know. And, you know, anybody, it's like, you know, suing somebody. Anybody can sue anybody. What's he going to do with the money? Is he going to help his country? No, they're paying off a lot of people. They're getting ready for the 2024 election in the U.S.
Mm.
They want to get their candidates elected so they can get the funding back.
Do you think he will get his trillion? I mean, he's got a chance. No. Oh, he's got a chance of getting a great chunk of that, hasn't he?
What they're going to need to do to get that done is a very large scale false flag operation. And, you know, that's the sad, scary part. Will Ukraine do it? Yeah. Yeah. And Zelensky's ordered, you know, actually ordered that Russian soldiers and Ukrainian citizens, videos of them being shown being tortured and killed, be put online. That's what Azov is doing. Now, why would he do that? They're trying to up the stakes of the war, make the Russians come down harder, scare the Russian citizenry in Russia. and set up the situation where a false flag will actually make sense. Oh, the Russians hit us. The Russians did this. The Russians blew up a nuclear power plant. The Russians blew a dirty bomb. The Russians blew chemical weapons. The Russians dropped, you know, strategic nuclear bombs, or, you know, hit us with missiles or whatever. If he can get something like that done at scale in the media, he has a chance.
It's and perhaps he may say, if you don't give me the money, I happen to have all the correspondence and all the recordings of our conversations, which could be even bigger than Twitter. George Eliason, thank you very much for your time. We were going to talk about the show. We haven't got any time. Coming up next, we'll have lots of fun and games. Crypto, in fact, talking about all sorts of nefarious activities, and also Carrie Lake talking about what she's going to do about her election that was robbed. This is TNT Radio.